Hey, welcome to episode 15 of the Drive podcast. This podcast will be all about some of my thoughts on education, because watch out today, watch out. There are some deep thoughts and some hard questions coming. It's possible I could offend somebody, not intentionally or with malice, but just in things that I say. And mostly, it's just to be a challenging conversation, because sometimes we need to have those in education to make sure that we're headed the right direction. I ask some hard questions and offer some thoughts. I don't know. I'm hesitant on the whole thing, but I'm going to push send here in a few minutes and it's going to go out there and I can't get it back. So I don't know. There we go. To find today's podcast and all associated links, please go to teachingfromhere.com/podcast. Scroll down to episode 15. And I would love it if you would take just a few minutes to leave a rating on Stitcher or iTunes. It helps give me feedback as to whether or not the podcast is working. Do you like it? Do you enjoy it? And I often scroll right through the whole rate this thing. But now here I am, wishing I'd gone through and rated those things so that karma would play its role. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the drive.
On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Hi, welcome to today's episode of The Drive. Currently, The Drive is getting some graduate work done, but I have been, I guess, inside silently worrying about our future legislative session. So this is more of a, I don't know what kind of conversation this is going to be, but just some things that I want to share that I believe that we all need to consider as we step into this legislative session and all the things that are going on. And it's important to understand that I'm a public education teacher. I taught in high school math and history for over 18 years. My passion for education moved me into my graduate studies where I am now, where I seek to learn as much as I can about educational technology and its applications in the classroom that can have a further positive impact on students and on teachers, because it's my belief that educational technology is not going away. But with educational technology, we can do the most amazing things. We can share the most amazing things. We can see the most amazing things. And so I have a lot of passion for that. And one of the things that I struggle with our current political climate is the lack of investment in public education. And I know that taxes and tax structures and tax systems are part of the reason for that, and I get that, and I get that I live in a place that's fairly conservative and wants to keep rates low and wants to make sure that the government is not taking more than it should to run efficiently, and I agree with a lot of those principles. I don't want to lose, you know, 25 cents on every dollar every day that I go do something. Like, I get that, and I'm thankful that people are trying to be very good stewards of my money. Where I have issues, though, is how we deal with the educational side of things. And from both sides, even me as a grumpy teacher sometimes, I have probably shared through a post or maybe even through Twitter or a blog a pretty extreme stance on things. And I think sometimes that's my knee-jerk reaction to what's going on, because I want to defend what we're doing. We work so hard. Unless you have been in a classroom, and I don't mean to be insulting to our political leaders, but you haven't, most of you. Some of you have, and you have a different viewpoint. But some of you who are authoring a lot of the legislation have not been. And I don't question that as you shouldn't author legislation on education. I just question that. Please be very aware of what's happening with the legislation that you author. And I know that one of the hot button topics right now are the ESA voucher bills, and I am conflicted on that in a lot of ways. I don't see the benefit to public education at all, but on the flip side, I do see the need to help provide some students with better academic environments, and I have some thoughts on that. First off, with the voucher thing, I'm not sure that it helps all the students that it's intended to help. In fact, I think that there is probably some issues inside the voucher system, the way it's organized. And I just use as a point of reference the Milwaukee voucher system, which has been in place for quite a few numbers of years and has not shown, it has not been a success, I don't think. it could have helped a few people, which is very true and is important. But I think the vast majority of that time, the Milwaukee system has not worked out well. And I don't know how that's going to help Oklahoma and our teachers and our inner city issues here. The second thing is equity. And this is also a struggle for me with ESA and equity. I don't know that it reaches all the students it's intended to reach, and it might. And if it does, great. But the problem right now is we have public school districts that have great things to offer their students. Great things. Laptops, one-to-one situations, Chromebooks, iPads, Wi-Fi connected tablets. And they have an infrastructure in place to utilize those things. And they have staff that has received professional development on how to use best practices to ensure that their lessons are interactive learning lessons. At the same exact time that you have a success story in Oklahoma, you also have a failure in a place that has none of those things, zero opportunity for those students to have some of that technology. I flipped my classroom. I lived in a community where I was able to flip my classroom and my students were able to view the videos and do the other kind of computery related things outside of my classroom. I was very lucky. I could not have set that up in a different district and run it the way I did. Which, by the way, when I flipped my classroom and did what I did with technology and scraped and scrumped and begged and cajoled and pleaded to get some stuff, thank you, Dr. Bendick, you're amazing, and Mr. Kofelt. But with those things, my kids passed every single EOI they took. They were successful kids. None of them failed. And so I bring up the equity issue because when you look at the school district that I taught at in a suburban area, it was as well-funded as could be. It had great things for the students. But you drive 15 minutes or less from where I taught, and you can find a school that had none of those things. They had no Wi-Fi. They had no possibility at all of technology for their students. So my question with all these educational bills is this: where does equity come into play? How does it come into play? I have the opportunity to send my kids to their school district, and when they come home, they have Wi-Fi connected devices. Should my children be penalized by not having lessons that allow them to explore the internet and technology? Should they be penalized? Should you take that right away from my students and from my own children? On the flip side, what right do we have to expect students that don't have these opportunities to succeed in the world where they are never exposed to them and have no idea how to use them to learn? And that is a very difficult question, because when you seek to serve the least of us, and that is so important and critical, you also don't serve my student needs. And I'm not upper class. I mean, I gave up a full-time teaching career, a full-time position, and I am now a full-time grad student. Like, my income now as a teacher after 18 and a half years with master's degree, coaching a sport, and sponsoring several things, I was close to $50,000, and I took the insurance as part of that. Just to give you a framework. And now with what I'm doing, I think I earned last year around $12,000 or $13,000. It was very minimal. The point is this: I'm not in the least category where my children don't have opportunity to play with technology and learn through technology. I'm also not also in the upper category where I can just afford to purchase or buy or whatever I need for my own students. I'm right in the middle. And so my question to you, as you consider your bills, is to consider my kids and the kids of other people in different circumstances from top to bottom in this state. Public education serves every student that walks through the door, every single one. We turn no student away, from profound, profound disabilities to the most amazing Jedi mind tricks. We serve all the kids. And I'm not knocking private schools. There are excellent, excellent private schools around here. And I'm not trying to get into a debate on public versus private ed. I am not. Because private schools also offer the opportunity for people to have choice to send their kids to a place that teaches in accordance with their beliefs. And that's great. That is truly great. And I hope that our private schools here continue to have great students. And some of our private schools are excellent, absolutely excellent. And of that, I have no doubt. But all of those schools, both private and public and charter, seek to help our students become better. They seek to help our students increase their education. They seek to help our students be the best students that they can possibly be in a world where we don't know what the future holds. Right now, you talk to a senior in high school, they have an idea of what they want to be when they grow up, okay? Growing up for a senior in high school is very, very close. But you ask a kindergartner what they want to be, and they may say an astronaut or a farmer, or they may point at the fire truck. It just depends on the day. However, the career that that kindergarten student will have, it may not exist yet. We may not know what it is yet. We may have no idea. How do we prepare them for that career, which will probably be technology related, when we so underfund our educational system and we do not allow for every student to have the opportunity to work with Wi-Fi and technology in their schools, every student in every district in the state? I think that if we can eliminate some of those issues, then I feel that some of the ESA voucher rhetoric, and it can be very strong and intense on both sides. And I have friends on both sides of this issue. I truly do. But I think if we can seek to fund education in a way that provides for every single student, I think that will make a difference in education across Oklahoma, whether they're in private, charter, or public schools. And I want to read to you a conversation off of Twitter. This is between two people one of them I know, one of them is a representative. I'll just share because it's on Twitter. It's a conversation between Lori Dickinson and Representative Jason Nelson. And I will say that I'm not the biggest fan of Representative Nelson, but I appreciate him engaging educators on Twitter. I know that has to be difficult because most educators do not view him very favorably. And I appreciate that effort. That takes a lot of courage and a lot of effort. And I'm thankful for that. I truly am. But the conversation is this, and it starts with Lori. Why can't we focus on adequately funding schools for 692,000 Okla Ed children before ESA vouchers? Representative Nelson, we can, but not to the exclusion of what's best for individual students, which I think is a very good point. We don't want to exclude individual students. I like that. Okay. Lori, are my two children in public schools not individual students? Lack of special ed teachers, outdated textbooks, ? And she also brings up a good point. Representative Nelson, yes, but they are only two. Lori, and if my kids are only two, why do you not consider them important individuals too? Doesn't make sense. Representative Nelson, they are important, just not more important than a child who is not thriving at their public school. Lori, students and educators are struggling. Short-sighted bills focus on few to the detriment of many is irresponsible. And I think this is a good conversation because both of the people participating in this made statements that I can get behind. And I think that one thing that can bring both of these people to the same table to talk to each other in a way that's profitable and engaging and worth it is when we start discussing how can we make education better for all of Oklahoma, for all students in Oklahoma, for all teachers and educators in Oklahoma who feel so incredibly overwhelmed right now by all of the rhetoric. It is very difficult. But there is so much passion in the teachers here. There's so much love for their students. And they work so hard with so little to be the most amazing people. And these students are incredible. You have no idea. You truly don't unless you walk in these halls. And so the purpose of this podcast is this. I have three children in public schools. I want all of them to be successful. I want all of them to have opportunity. And I want all of them to be treated just as well as the kids in the lowest of the low of the socioeconomic neighborhoods. Those schools also deserve to have great, great things. And what happens if we put great things into those schools? And the question is, I don't know because we haven't done it. But what if we tried that? Could the situation that Representative Nelson talks about, the student who's struggling in their public school because it's poor, will that student have the opportunity then to succeed? These are really hard questions. And this is a hard podcast to give because I don't know how it's going to be received or who's going to listen to it. And my goal is to not to turn people off, but just to say, look, we need to have a broader discussion, and we need to not just focus, not just on high stakes testing, not just on vouchers, not just on this thing, or not just on the teacher pay raise, but let's talk about the whole system. The whole system needs some help. It's not broken, but it needs help. And when we all come together for the better of the system, and when we look around at all of the students in our state, every single student, I wonder what kind of great things we can do. And I don't know that there's a limit to what we can do. Because I've lived in Oklahoma my whole life. And I've seen how Oklahoma responds to adversity, and I've seen how Oklahoma responds to tragedy. And I got to tell you, I don't know that there's another place in the world like it. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. Remember that if you teach, if you're involved in education, you're making a difference in somebody's lives, and you'll never know it. But it will matter. It will matter to that person.